World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust, here in America, he's the one we turn to, every time the going gets rough, he is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Trust here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Hey, happy Memorial Day. Look, I'm not going to take the whole program and talk about all we're thankful for and all that. I could do all that, do a theme show, but that's not really what we do here. See, we're under assault here in America. That's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about what's happened in the past. Talk about what's going to happen in the future. Before I do that, Dave and Sherry Allison, 46 years today. Throw that picture up of them, Johnny. I think I sent it to you this morning. 46. Look at that.
Boom.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. 40. Dave said he was, I think 20. Is that what you said, David? She was 20. She was 19. Amazing how young people got married back.
Correct.
Huh? Now we can't get 40-year-olds to marry. Right? It's crazy. It's crazy. So Dave and Sherry. Sherry, you're kind of cute. Dave, you weren't bad either, man. Weren't bad either. So God bless you guys. And man, we sure appreciate and love you guys. And man, a lot of stuff going on. And look, rather than Can I so I'm gonna make this a See I Told You show. So show, can I do that? Can I show you that? Because, you know, the Bible tells us that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed, nothing covered that will not be unveiled. I've kind of paraphrased that. But, folks, the stuff that's beginning to come out about how we have been manipulated and lied to, and I mean, it's pretty amazing. Hey, I got to show you one more thing here before I do that. Johnny, my wife fell in love again. Did I send this to you, John? I don't know. Will you guys look at that? My sister-in-law, Susie, sent that. That's me. Now, that looks like a posed picture from some studio, doesn't it? I don't even know how old I was. I think I'm outside. I think my mom made me paint that doors, desks, whatever. I think so. But my wife said, my goodness, that looks like a staged photo that you'd see in a magazine somewhere. Well, that's me. I don't even know how old I was, except I was shaven. I can tell I was shaven. So I'm saying that maybe I might have been 16, 17 years old. Where did that guy go, huh? That's what Dave Allison said when he looked at his picture. Where'd that guy? Sure, he said, what? Where's that guy I married? Now I got this big guy. I had this little skinny guy before. So time flies, doesn't it? Time flies. So we have to ask ourselves, you know, scripture says that a wise man leaves an inheritance. Okay, you can get that off there. A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I just reminded today on Memorial Day, a day that we look back, maybe we got to take some time to look forward. Where are we going to be a year from now? I make some notes to myself here real quick. Bear with me here a second. I'm wondering, is there going to be an election? Is there going to be an election, folks? Because as we look out on the spectrum of what's going on all across the fruited plain, the Luciferians are losing, man. They are absolutely losing. And they know this. If Donald Trump gets elected again, it's going to be payback. This is life and death for some of these people. It's life and death. So I want you all to be, we all need to begin thinking towards that. Is it going to be an election? And that's why I want to encourage all of you again that we're having our event here. Pull that up there if you would, the Coach Dave Live event. Folks, we'd love for you to come and be part of our event here. Bobby's got an event going on down in Kentucky. Two weekends. Yeah, it got a lot going on, all right? Then the National Huddle here on the 21st of June here at Sky High. We'd love for you to come. We're charging, $59. That's cheaper than last year because we've had a good donation towards it. And it's great fellowship. We got Sheila Holmes going to speak. Flip Benham's going to speak. Tom Renz is going to speak. It's going to be unbelievable. Roger's going to do fireworks. And it's just going to be hang out and get to know each other. If there's any way that you can make it, we'd love for you to come, man. We'd love for you to come. And we'll get to, you know, you can bring an RV, you can bring a tent, we just kind of rough it. Some of us do. I'd let you swim in the pond, but there isn't any water in it. Oh, there may be. It rained all night, so there might be water in it today. Bring your mud puddle shoes with you. That's what you'll need. So, again, I want to just emphasize that enough, man. Come on. We need you to register so we figure out the food, all the prep, and all the stuff that we have to do. So that's coming up, 3 weeks? Is it 3 weeks, 4 weeks maybe? I want you to be part of that. And a lot of great stuff going on. Now I'm going to talk about something else, and I'm going to come back to that later. I watched the General Flynn movie yesterday. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet. Well, I'm going to talk maybe about that a little bit more. It's pretty incredible because you see where the bodies are buried and what happened to him, why they went after him. It's really, really good. It's about an hour and, I don't even know how long it was. But I put it on a little faster speed and watched it. And I'll talk to you tomorrow about where you can get it and get a good deal on it. And I would recommend buying it, and then you can share it with others. So it was really good. It was really good. I sat there. I was so mad when that thing was over to see what they did to that guy. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, so hang on. So I want to give you some good news and I want to give you some bad news, okay? Here's some good news. Pull up for me. Number one, how many of you guys are aware that this is going on in America? It's called LifeWise Academy. LifeWise Academy. Can you click on that? Oh, yeah, on that. Yeah, click. I think you have it there, don't you, Johnny? It's number one. Ohio public schools are releasing kids for religious instruction during the school days. Soon, they could be required to do it. Now, here's a question I want to ask all of you as we dive into this on Memorial Day, and in God we still trust, and understand that the foundation of this nation is Christian, has been Christian, always has been Christian. Now, we are applauding, including me, at the fact that we can now sneak the kids off of campus to learn, get a little bit of Christian instruction. You have to sneak them. Not really. It's called LifeWise. And these things are popping up everywhere at local public schools. Well, I don't know if you guys have heard of the LifeWise Academy. Already has a foothold in Ohio. But the fast-growing Christian educational nonprofit based in Columbus, expanding throughout the state and the country. Students, mostly in elementary school, leave school once a week for about 55 minutes in the middle of the day to study the Bible. What? Are you kidding me? Let me ask you a question. Why do they have to leave school to do that? They don't have to leave school to study secular humanism. They don't have to leave school to study transgenderism. They don't have to leave school. Are you with me? But at least this is a pushback. But I'm telling you, the sun's coming up. Sun's coming up, right? As we continue to do this. Now, Ohio lawmakers are considering changing the law to increase LifeWise programs and other similar to it. An Ohio House bill would require school districts to adopt policies allowing students to leave for religious instruction. Hey, folks, how about a religious class being taught in the school? How about that? A required religious class. How are we ever going to, in God we still trust in America, if we're not teaching our children this? And I remember back years ago now, I go back when I was in London, and then we were... One of the things they got mad at me at London High School about was on Sunday night, I took our football players to church voluntarily. We went to the church that I attended, and man, it was great. I mean, boy, it was really, really good. It was impactful, and some kids were receiving the Lord. It was all good. And you know what happened? Why, the Presbyterian minister in town complained that they weren't coming to his church. Now, he didn't say that. But he called the school board, got the school board members all fired up that I was taking children to church. The pastor, I would say his name, but I'm not going to. Can you believe that, folks? And what was his excuse? Well, we may not agree with all the doctrines at that church. Oh, yeah. But you agree with the doctrine in the public school, right? Huh? You agree with that doctrine? Screw whoever you want to. Huh? Kill the baby if you agree with that doctrine, do you, pastor? I could go on and on and on and on. But now finally the worm's turning a little bit. At least we're trying to sneak Christianity back in. But one of the problems is, I don't know if you guys know how LifeWise works, the children get bussed from school to the church for 55 minutes of instruction once a week. We have it going on here at a couple different schools local. I'm all for it. I'm not saying it. Why are we the stepchild? Why do the homos get to come in and flood our children with homos, but we have to pull our kids out to give them religious instructions, right? Crazy the times we live in. But good. This is good because now it's forcing the hand a bit of the legislators maybe to get involved. Maybe we need to get involved in this, right? And of course, you know, one of the objections is it's amazing. One of the objections I saw some legislature had as well. If they remove these kids for LifeWise, what's that going to do to the band? The band's not going to have everybody there for practice when they practice. That's the way we think here in America, right? It's unbelievable. Come on in, Glenn. I got more good stuff. Hang on, more good stuff.
If they're so concerned about the band, then yes, move the religious classes to the school. But there's another. There's also a complementary program called Reset. Does the same thing that LifeWise does. The difference is they reach out to the inner city schools right in Columbus, but they're doing the same thing. But here's the ironic thing: they have to get the permission of, of the head of the school, in order for him or her to let the kids come out of school to go to the program.
It's unbelievable.
They have to get the permission.
I know. See, that's the way our minds work, right? We have to get the superintendent of schools to give permission for your child to go get some religious instruction. folks.
Yeah, we need the Ten Commandments. We've got to get somebody in the legislature to propose the Ten Commandments be mandated back in the schools. That'd be another story.
They're doing that in Louisiana. Is that not true, Dale?
All it's waiting is for the ink of the governor to sign it, which is a 100%. But not only that, the chaplains will either be voluntary or put on staff at the churches. And when that happens, I might apply as a former sheriff's chaplain. Ha! Hallelujah.
So, Dale, the posting of the Ten Commandments is going to become the law in Louisiana. Is that right?
In every single classroom, in every single college classroom, if they receive any kind of tax money. Yep.
Mandatory. You hear that, folks? Where the hell's the churches been? Where have the churches been in this whole thing? So there's some really, really good stuff. Really good stuff going on. Now, I'm going to show you some other stuff that's going on that may not seem good, but it's important that we understand this, okay? Pull up for me number four. I've been telling this. Sherry Tenpenny told me this 3 years ago, I think. It was 3 years ago. We were talking about COVID and the shots and yada, 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 yada. And she said, oh, coach, the real effects of this aren't going to show up for years. She said, people aren't going to get a shot and die next week. They're not going to get a shot and die next month. They may not even get a shot and die next year. But people are going to get a shot and they're going to die, and then nobody's going to connect the two. Anybody out there, you with me? Anybody, you with me out there?
Amen.
All of a sudden, 2 years later, you're sick and you die. Say, oh, that was awful. And we're finding out that literally millions of people have been killed by the jab and don't even know it. They don't even know it. Because why? They took the jab 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Boom. Did you see that? Well, that's a whole different story, I guess. So I want you to watch this. Which one did I tell you to pull up, Johnny? I forget which one. Okay, thanks. This is Naomi Wolf. You guys know who Naomi Wolf is? She's a very well-respected former liberal, pagan, non-believing Jewish woman, I believe. And she is pretty amazing. This is what's happening as a result of the shots on reproduction. Now, hang on a minute. Hang on. First command God gave to men was what? Does anybody know? Yes, so you're right. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. It's the first command he gave. And not only that, we're told in Genesis that it was the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That's where the battle lies. If the seed of the serpent wants to destroy the seed of the woman, and the only way that you can destroy the seed of the woman, well, it's not an only way. There's a lot of ways you can destroy it. But one of them would be through birth control, right? Right? Abortion, right? Right? These are all efforts by the dark side, the enemy, to destroy the seed of the woman, meaning those in the line of Jesus Christ. Those of us adopted into the family, not those of us born Jewish, but those who are adopted into the family of God. The devil hates God's children. Can I get an amen? Is everybody with me on the same page on that? Have we come to the realization that the devil hates the children of God? Boom. He is after the children of God. He took over the schools and tried to block from the children all knowledge of God. Took it totally, completely out of the curriculum. Not even allowed to talk about it. Because why? Because if you get the children, you get the next generation. And so we live in a country today where the average child graduating from high school could not explain to you the idea of a Christian Foundation of America. Say, Coach, how do you know that? Because I go into the high schools and I talk to them and they don't understand it, right? Psalm 78, real quickly. Psalm 78, Johnny. I'm on a roll. Hang in there with me. Psalm 78. John's going to get that up here for us in a second. Psalm 78. Here's what we're dealing with, friends. Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Are the fathers telling the children today? We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Now stop right there a second. Have we as Christians permitted this to happen in our public schools? Or are we hiding these precepts from our children? For he established it in testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they would make those laws known to their children. Are we doing that in America? Are we making those laws known to our children here on Memorial Day? That the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born. And they would arise and they'd declare to their children that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and might not be like their daddies, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And the children of Ephraim, being armed, that's us, and carrying bows, that's us, turn back in the day of battle. They're after our children. It's plain to see they're after our children. And what do? We turn back in the day of battle. We didn't keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Wow. We don't teach it to our children and our grandchildren anymore. So, are you sitting down? Okay, real slow, class. You don't have to put your microphone on, but you can say this. Okay, you ready? The devil is after the seed. Repeat with me now. The devil is after the seed. The devil is after the seed. The seed is the next generation. The devil is after the seed. If the devil can get the next generation, he stops the movement of God. The devil is after the seed. So watch this. This is Naomi Wolf. It's unbelievable. Go ahead and play. It's about 3.5 minutes long. Hey, folks. This is the result of that jab. Huh? Oh, yeah. They don't want you to have babies. Listen to this. Go ahead.
So, Alex, you know, COVID is a respiratory infection, arguably, right? It's supposed to be. Well, there's very little in the Pfizer documents on lungs. It's all about, not all, the centerpiece of it is about sex and reproduction. So what you've got is the lipid nanoparticles accumulating in the ovaries and blocking the ovaries, and there's no way they leave the body, right? So first injection in the ovaries, second injection more, third injection more. And so what you have now is, along with women with horrific menstrual dysregulation, hormonal dysregulation, you've also got blocked ovaries, which nurses are seeing in women's abdominal surgeries. The lipid nanoparticles traverse the placenta. The lipid nanoparticles suppress semen. Actually, in the Pfizer documents, they tell vaccinated men not to have intercourse with unvaccinated women without using two reliable forms of contraception.
By the way, that, in their own documents, they say a man can shed it to a woman. So this is literally a torpedo aimed right at the goddess, right at the woman.
Oh, that's a beautiful way to put it, but that's exactly right. It's about destroying women and babies, for sure. But also emasculating men, because the lipid nanoparticles degrade the testes of baby boys in utero, including
white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Hey, call me a racist, dumbass. White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Go ahead.
The Leydig cells and Sertoli cells, which generate masculine hormones at adolescence and turn boys into men. So we don't even know if the babies of vaccinated moms will grow up to be normal men. You know,
and then they just say, it's okay, you're a mutant, you're really a girl, and now you compete in girls' sports. Yeah, we can see the plan. It's like a fire ant eradication program where they hit the ants with hormones so they have mutated babies or kill them. I mean, this is a depopulation operation.
There's an 8-page report on pregnancy and lactation that shows that this injection kills babies in utero. They had two babies die that were in their mom's, you know, in utero. And Pfizer concluded that the deaths were due to maternal exposure to the vaccine. And this report was sent on April 21st. 2021 to the White House, April 23rd, 2021, Dr. Walensky, who had the report and knew this injection was killing babies and poisoning nursing babies, told the pregnant women of America that it was safe and effective and that there was no bad time to have your injection before, during, or after your pregnancy. And she knew that this would kill babies. Wow. Babies were targeted. Pregnant women were targeted. Nursing women were targeted. And now we've got a 14 to 20% drop in live births, according to government records, especially 14, in the West. And what I want to say,
20% drop in live births. 14 to 20% drop in live births. Wake up. Keep going. It's just a minute or more, Johnny.
Especially to you. Is that in the Pfizer documents, it's the West that's targeted, especially America. The vast majority of side effects are in America, the rest of them Western Europe, in order of political importance. You know, this is beyond ordinary politics. It's beyond ordinary medicine. These are the symptoms of a massive cosmic war between good and evil. And it made me believe in God a lot more literally than I had before, because clearly something demonic or satanic or even, I concluded, like ancient negative entities like Baal or Moloch, you know, in this takeover and then in this rollout and then in the subtlety of this injection doing so much damage to the things that bring us closest to God, right? Or the things that are most divine, like, you know, mothers and babies and nursing and, you know, love and intimacy, It rolled out perfectly. It rolled out in lockstep beyond any kind of human capability. So as a result of that, I really thought, wow, this is a negative force that I have not seen in my lifetime. It can't be explained by a bunch of bad people. It's a negative force beyond any kind of human capability.
That's right. Not just as an intellectual, not just as a really respected, smart woman. With the women's intuition, you go, this isn't human. Like, this is beyond human.
Okay, free it there. There you go. So, folks, do our pastors know that? Do our pastors know that, you think? Freaking Naomi Wolf, an atheist, can know it? Understands a spiritual war? And our pastors can't? Pastors close down churches? What's going on, man? See, we're at war, aren't we? We're at war. And I'm not sitting and pounding my chest saying, see, I told you so, but see, told you so. Told you so, didn't I? Okay, another one. I'm going to show you another one. Bring up number 5 real quickly. This is Senator Ron Johnson. This is it, folks. This is all, put that in the chat, please. This is just good information for you that you can share with others. Because I'm telling you, are you looking at me? Some of your friends are going to die. They're going to die. And they're not going to associate it with the jab. And what does the devil, what did Naomi Wolf say? They found out that the CDC or the WHO, whoever it was, targeted Western countries. Would that be Christians?
Boom.
Would that be Christian? Then you mean they're not after the Muslims? They're not over there trying to kill off the Chinese? Could it be this idea of the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman is real? Could it be the seed of the serpent doesn't really care about those who practice Hinduism or Taoism, doesn't really care about them? No, no, no. It's those white Anglo-Saxon Protestants that they're after. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see it. So here's Senator Ron. This is about 5 minutes long, I think. Johnny, how long is it? About 5 minutes long. This is Senator Ron Johnson telling us, hey, this whole thing's been planned by some elite group. Maybe the Masons. Not allowed to talk about that, but maybe the Masons. Maybe the Rothschilds. Who knows? But Senator Ron Johnson said, this is bigger than we even understand. This is a planned assault on white evangelical Protestants. He doesn't use that term, but I did. Go ahead and play it.
Yeah, but what are you going to do about it? What can you do about it? Because the censorship does not stop there. I mean, they are in the White House creating their narrative and running with it, whether it has to do with Trump, whether it has to do with Biden and the money he's taken in, whether it has to do with COVID. We learned this morning that the FDA is now saying that it's okay to take ivermectin if you have COVID. I mean, Senator, I remember talking with you repeatedly during COVID about your upset that you were, they were trying to cancel you because you were talking to doctors to try to find out the right ways to treat COVID without having to get too many boosters and COVID shots. I remember I took ivermectin, and, you know, it was hard to do because initially the pharmacist wanted to report my doctor, and he didn't want to, you know, I mean, I had to, like, it was hard to find my doctor to finally, you know, address this and prescribe ivermectin. He did. My COVID was gone in a day when I took ivermectin, and now 3 years later, the FDA says, oh, yeah, that's fine. Take ivermectin. What?
And Marie, you know the doctors I've been dealing with and talking to for years now. They believe that probably hundreds of thousands of Americans lost their lives because they were denied early treatment. And they were denied it because the FDA sabotaged, for example, ivermectin. And they said, come on, y'all, you're not a cow, you're not a horse. You know, this is supposedly horse medicine. No, this is a Nobel Prize-winning medicine that could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. It did save many, many lives.
Millions.
Because people, you did have doctors with the courage to and the compassion to actually treat patients using it and putting at risk their medical license. But, you know, fortunately, you say, what can we do? Well, you know, we do have reporters like yourself, like John Solomon, other people that have the courage to report the truth against the mainstream media and against the narrative. But that's the only way this is going to be solved, is we need the truth to be exposed. We need more Americans to listen to the truth, to be exposed to the truth, to pull their heads out of the sand, quite honestly, open up their eyes and understand what is happening in this country. We are going down a very dangerous path, but it's a path that is being laid out and planned by an elite group of people that want to take total control over our lives. And that's what they're doing bit by bit. They do it by increasing massive government spending, increase in the size of government, takeover of the WHO. These amendments that are coming up that are going to be voted on in 2024 on the WHO are frightening, and they really risk taking away all of our sovereignty. People have to awaken to the dangers of the moment.
I mean, it's just extraordinary to me that the government was working with social media to amplify lies and suppress truth, and has been doing so repeatedly. I mean, you know, we just saw the Facebook story, the Twitter files, all of the time, all the way government officials from the CDC, the FBI, you know, CIA, I mean, 1,000 people, according to the reporters working on the Twitter files, worked with social media to amplify lies and suppress truth. Why couldn't the American people know that, you know, there were other alternatives to treat COVID? Why can't the American people know that there were side effects with the vaccine?
This is all pre-planned by an elite group of people. That's what I'm talking about. Event 201 that occurred in late 2019, prior to the rest of us knowing about this pandemic. Again, yeah. This is very concerning in terms of what has happened, what is happening, what continues to be planned for our loss of freedom. Again, it needs to be exposed, but unfortunately, there are very few people, even in Congress, that are willing to take a look at this. They all push the vaccine. They don't want to, you know, be made aware of the fact that the vaccines might have caused injuries, might have caused death. So many people just simply don't want to admit they were wrong, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they're not proven wrong. We're up against a very powerful group of people here.
Okay, that's enough. That's why there's not going to be an election, friends. I don't know what's going to happen. I got more stuff. I'm more. Put that in the chat, by the way. It's coming out. They can't hide it. It's coming out. What's the retribution going to be? Should there be those who are in positions of authority? Should they pay with their lives? Should there be public hangings for what they did? I vote yes. In fact, I posted on Facebook this year, let's do away with electric cars and let's build some electric chairs. Justice. We need justice. We need harsh, violent, open justice. Or we're not going to, we have no chance. If we allow the people in charge to remain in charge and mete out the justice, you'll see what they'll do. They'll lock up J6ers and they'll let Hillary Clinton and Fauci, we'll let them all go free. That's where we are. That's where we are in America. I'm going to open it up. Come on in, Roger.
You know, Dave, if they do allow litigation to go forward, there's not enough money to take care of everybody. And we're talking of multiple, you know, millions, if not tens of million people who would have a claim. There would not, they would bankrupt every insurance company out there, every college. I mean, there just would not be enough money. So I don't know how this will play out, because there are discussions that you can sue people other than Big Pharma, but then there's also discussions of if Big Pharma was fraudulent, which they are, you can sue them. But there's not enough money to handle the damages. And so this idea we can sue everybody, or maybe we can, but there ain't enough money for all these people. It would bankrupt every big insurance company out there. Well, that may be good. That might be good, but every college that forced the students to take it would be bankrupt. They just don't have enough money to handle the lawsuit. So
good. Then we'd get back to we'd get back to a real monetary system, get rid of the dollar and all that kind of stuff. Hey, Dr. Paul, is there liability for you if you poison one of your patients?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's kind of a loaded question.
I know it's loaded, but right? If I find out that you gave me a medicine, remdesivir, and it killed me, is somebody liable for that, Paul?
I just posted it right there, Coach. I try to use what God puts in the Bible. So I regard what's going on in medicine, and Rachel pointed this out the other day, which was amazing, that there are more pills out there killing babies than there are doctors actually doing it, you know, in the procedure. Yeah, I thought that was amazing. And I see what pharmacies are doing, and I see that the medical system is tearing down every day. I talk to these poor sluts. Most of them got vaccinated. Some of them have cancer, young doctors. It's all going down. And you know what? Good riddance. It's time to rebuild.
Yep. Amen. Amen. I mean, you talk about a culling of the herd, huh? Maybe it's the other herd that needs to be called. See, folks, you better understand. You better understand the devil is after the white evangelical Protestant. Now, you guys all, everybody takes a gasp. No, everybody takes a gasp. You know who this is killing? You know who this jab's killing? Well, I'll help you. The white evangelical Protestant. That's who it's killing. Now, do you think that that's by accident? I mean, you could say it is, right? Say, oh, Coach, you just see race and everything. No, no. Hey, folks, what would be going on? Well, what if this has been targeted and all the black people were dying? Would we all be sitting around like this? Say, oh, my goodness, no, that's horrible. Huh? What was it? What was the disease? Hey, what if it was AIDS and it was killing all the homos? Would we all just be sitting around saying, oh, no, no. What was it? What was it blacks got? Was it sickle cell anemia? What disease was it that the blacks got? That some type of malaria or whatever? Oh, my God, goodness. No, oh, they fall over themselves. Everybody falls over themselves, try to take care of it. And then a bunch of white people, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants start dropping over. The government says, keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it now. Think I'm crazy? That's the war we're fighting. Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach, not to swing the wheels down back into Louisiana, but one of the laws, I think it's SB 88 that was written in the Senate, is a law that ivermectin will be allowed over-the-counter ivermectin to begin with, and tapped into that also is if you're a company, and I think this is kind of they're premeditating, getting ready for what's coming next, that if you're a company and you mandatory vaccinations on your employees and there's a medical side effect, the company will be liable for that jab.
That's right. See, they shouldn't have had any immunity at the beginning, right? Folks, you have the right to work. They can't tell you got to take this and do that to be able to go to work, right? Especially government mandating it. Really? And it, again, it shows you the ineffectiveness of the church. The church was handing out the vaccines. The churches were closing down, and they were hosting vaccines. You know I'm telling you the truth. So the church was complicit in the killing of their people. I guess you could make it up. Nobody believed it. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everybody. This topic, when it comes, this is so upsetting to me because I watched so many people go get this shot. You know, a lot of old people, and they may not have died right away, but I will tell you that their quality of life went downhill so quickly. They've had to have home health aides move in. These were vibrant, healthy old people who were enjoying their life, going on cruises, doing what you do in retirement, who after that shot went downhill so fast, there was just no denying what happened.
And, they did deny it, though, didn't they, Rochelle? They did deny it.
Not for me, not for the individuals watching this. And I think it should be true of all the nurses and all the doctors watching this happen, especially once you put your patient on remdesivir and they're dead in 3 days.
That's right.
But what I was wanting to get to in a roundabout way, I'm sorry, is that I kind of see now this opening up for lawyers and lawfare and for just another, I hate to put it this way, but another greedy piece of society to step in. Yeah. And like, why weren't they suing before? Why are they waiting? They should be suing. There is not, you don't get to be free of all of this stuff that you've done when there's fraud involved. Fraud Amen. Has been proven.
Fraud vitiates everything, man. Fraud vitiates everything.
And so I see the lawyers coming in for their piece of the pie. And then also you're going to have the chemo doctors also getting in on their piece of the pie. So after all is said and done, everybody's going to be happy. You know, everybody got to make money off of this terrible disease that killed our children and our grandparents.
Amen. 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 I mean, and again, you know what's devious about it, Rochelle? People are dying today because of what they did 2 years ago, and they don't make a connection to it. See, that's what's going on, Trent.
Yeah, they don't make the connection. Did they make the connection that the U.S. government injected the black community in the Tuskegee experiment in the 1930s? Did they make that connection?
Uh-huh.
With syphilis and let them live and basically let them die to their death and spread it across their communities for several years. Did they make that connection? And yeah, Coach, amen. This is the same government. This is the government's relatives. You know, this is who's doing that to us. They hate the Christians. Amen.
They hate Christians. Why are we so afraid to deny that? That's exactly what's going on. The seed of the serpent is after the Christians. The seed of the woman, the Christians. They're after the Christians. Look, everywhere you look, what's the one thing you're not allowed to talk about? Christianity. Can't be in school, can't be in public. Oh, they're real nice to us. Now they're letting us pray before meetings. They're finally letting adults pray before a city council meeting, right? Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Can't your pastor see what's going on? How can you be so blind? Craig.
Well, I hope people go to Liberty Action Network and pray that prayer of resistance, because they're meeting this week in Geneva, right? Right next to the World Economic Forum, right next to CERN, okay? And this pandemic agreement, they don't want to call it a treaty, because treaties have to go through the legislature, but agreements. And a lot of countries, including ours, have already signed on to that. And it's when the agreement comes out, if the Lord doesn't intervene between now and Friday, then they will come and bring this to the General Assembly, the 77th United Nations General Assembly, this September, and this will be the law of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever you need to do, whether you want to go to Liberty Action and pray the prayer of resistance that I wrote or come up with your own, I would suggest that you ask the Lord to create a fumble, or we're going to be dealing with this. And you know, you can not comply with it, and that's cool. We probably won't. We won't. But don't think that you're not going to have to deal with the effects of it, because they will use this as the means to control your movements. Right.
We've already seen it. Bring up the Liberty Action Network, Johnny. Liberty Action Network, pray this prayer. Folks, on your own, pray this prayer. Get others to pray this prayer. It's right there for you to read it, right? under actions. Prayer of Resistance, WHO Pandemic Treaty, May 27th to June 1st. Join us one accord, one prayer. Heavenly Father in heaven, we glorify your holy name. We honor your son, Jesus of Nazareth. The heart of man is evil. We walk in a world of darkness, only finding the truth in your light, your word, and the teachings of the Holy Spirit. As evil men have crept in and want to reestablish a new world order, which is just a rewrite of the old world order, being the Tower of Babel and Spirit of Nimrod. The arm of the Spirit of Antichrist is the United Nations via the WHO, and they're meeting between May 27th and June 1st to establish the pandemic agreement. that will be used to usurp the sovereignty of countries from around the world. As COVID was used to shut down the church, it caused harm amongst the people. The plans are being purposed for the next world pandemic to grab the power over humanity with evil intent in mind. We ask, Father, that you send your mighty warring angels over Geneva, Switzerland, where the WHO will be meeting to bring confusion, discord, jealousy, and infighting amongst themselves. We bind the spirits and agents of evil to loose communication and connections to the evil human puppet masters, Dr. Tedros Adhanom and that other dude, all the executive board of the WHO and Pfizer and all those Bill Gates and Soros and Schwab and Club of Rome and Bilderbergers and the Masonic and the secret societies. Father, we ask, just as in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, when the king of Syria made plans to war against Israel, you empowered Elijah to reveal the intent plans the king of Syria to the king of Israel and was able to outwit his opponent. May the WHO and those who work with ill intent say the very same thing about the WHO pandemic agreement as it falls upon in the days and weeks ahead. Just as the king of Syria is troubled and frustrated, may the WHO say the very same thing the king of Syria said in Elijah, coming upon his cohorts and saying to them, will you not show me which of us is leaking our plans? May the information be so devastating and broadcast far and wide that people become outraged, rising up against it, exposing the agenda-driven policy of evildoers to use against your body of believers and humanity in general. We thank you, Father, in advance that you hear the prayers of the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. We ask this, Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Pray that. Send that out. Pray that. We're at war. Jeff Klein.
Cubs, we went back to the public square Saturday, set up the PA system. And what I usually do, I went around to see the old liberal Democrats, the God haters, what their signs were for the day. And Joan and all of them, all four sections of the square, their signs, Joan had a sign that says, stop both atrocities in Palestine and Israel. I said, yeah. Joan, don't you think we have atrocities right here? Why are you worried about Palestine and Israel? We got atrocities right here. So Peter came and another guy from Mansfield. We had three of us. And so we just hammered the atrocities on the Christians, children, our government, all the atrocities here in the United States. We had a good time from 1 to 3, 2 hours. And we had quite a few families walking around the square, giving us thumbs up, reached two individuals, a man and a woman separately, share the gospel with them. Their lives are a wreck. So it was a pretty productive day. It was good.
Good, Jeff. There's a lot of people out there whose lives are a wreck, aren't there? For sure there are. Hey, pull up for me number, which one is it? Number two. How real is democracy, huh? First of all, we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. But they keep calling it a democracy because they want it to be 50% wins. That's how they think it is. Scroll way on down, Johnny, because this whole thing's good, but I want to read this from Caitlin Johnson. Okay, we're talking about the vote, okay? Hang on, right there. They talk about 365 days a year by rich and powerful people control everything, is what she's saying. And then she says this, they, meaning we don't get to vote on whether their police force should be getting more and more militarized or whether the surveillance practices of the U.S. intelligence cartel should be getting more and more intrusive. The people don't get to vote on whether the U.S. should have the highest incarceration rate in the world and a profoundly unjust legal system, which gives rise to it. The people don't get to vote on whether the internet should be getting more and more consolidated and censorship heavy as Silicon Valley mega corporations move into more and more cooperative relationships with the government. The people don't get to vote on whether there should be billionaires when there are people living on the streets. People don't get to vote on whether their government should be encircling the planet with hundreds of military bases and working to destroy any nation which disobeys our government while their own people struggle and suffer at home. People don't get to vote on something the powerful don't care about. There's a possibility that your vote might have some sway. You might have some tiny degree of influence over a woman's reproductive rights, for example, or whether or not gay people can get married. But when it comes to the mechanisms of the imperial machine, like war, militarism, propaganda, oligarchy, capitalism, authoritarianism, your hand will get smacked away the instant you move to touch them. In other words, they'll let you vote on these little things. They'll let you. But on the big things, no. So it's not really democracy, folks. It's not really ruled by the people. If all of the most important and consequential decisions are being made by forces with no accountability to the electorate, while the people are confined to a toddler's playpen in the corner arguing about pronouns and fat phobia. What really sucks is that so many people believe that this is freedom and democracy. The people will never know how freedom, will never know freedom till they first understand how profoundly unfree they really are right now. Boy, is that good, huh?
Boom.
So look, folks, I don't like to use the word militant. Johnny, go to Webster real quick. Go to Webster's and look up militant. Because when we think militant, we think guns, knives, bombs, bullets. When I say to you that we have to get more militant, the church militant is the Christian church. Isn't this unbelievable, folks? That the Bible calls the church militant, the Christian church on earth, which is supposed to be engaged in a constant warfare against this enemy, thus distinguished from the church triumphant, or the church that is in heaven. The church needs to become more militant. Meaning what? Actually at war spiritually against the forces of darkness. And sadly, whether you want to admit it or not, sometimes spiritual battle turns physical. Meaning what? You got to show up at the school board meeting. You got to show up at the city council meeting. You got to have the balls to stand up and say to your pastor, when are you going to start telling us the truth? That's what militancy looks like. When are we going to do that? When is the church militant going to arise? Bible says, occupy till I come. Let me ask you this. How do you occupy? Love, 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 love. Jesus loves you, brother. We're going to occupy. Jesus loves you. Jesus is coming again, brother. Going to occupy. That's not how you occupy. And that's where we are. It's where the church is. And as soon as you stand up and speak out against it, people call you names. Government comes after you. Why? Because there's a war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Dudes, wake up. We're at war already. We're just not in war. Dale, did you want to come back in?
I do, Coach. Our lawmakers must be ahead of this thing on this WHO, the UN, because that is another constitutional law that's coming to the state of Louisiana, that they will have no authority in the state of Louisiana, not only no purchasing, but no medical and no financial doings in the state of Louisiana.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So in other words, the local people can still make a difference. Are you kidding me? You mean just because the government says it doesn't mean we have to do it? Really? Really? Craig? Your hand's up, Craig. I don't know if you want to. Anybody else want to get in here? Anybody else? Come on in. Oh, I know. I got to show this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the pause. Well, pull up number 6. I'll show you how sick we are. Show you how sick we are. Huffington Post. Folks, I wish this was a joke. I wish this was a joke. Think twice before you cut off your dog's balls. Tinkering with the body of an animal has consequences. While neutering has long been the salvation of domestication in the U.S., it's time to consider one option for sterilization. In the end, only you can decide what's best for your dog. This is not, folks, this is not irony. This is not satire. Our country's long love affair with systematic castration known as neutering of male dogs is coming under close scrutiny these days. Because why? Recent studies show that this has a profound, if you cut off a dog's testicles, a lot of things could happen to him. Last week, after reviewing the growing research on the invasive organ removing surgery, I took our youngest rescue, Gedda Zooks, took their dog to the clinic. And what they find out, proven to be both safe and effective, the injection is similar to receiving an inoculation, yada, yada, yada. So in other words, this group is standing up and saying, stop castrating dogs, but they're okay castrating children. You see the irony? You think this is made up. This ain't made up. Early observations of castrated men show side effects like reduced bone density, muscle mass, body hair development. Many of the men were said to assume more serene dispositions. I guess I knew something when they said, that guy's lost his balls. I guess it meant something to Dr. Paul. Hey, that guy's lost his balls. Why? because it seemed more serene dispositions, but also claimed to have development depression. But enough about us. What happens when they do it to a dog? I'm telling you, what a world we live in, huh? What a world we live in. Jeff, come on in.
Don't shoot a quick example of Saturday. About a week ago, I met a homeless guy who stumbled into my car lot. It's like, hey, I was told to come see you, blah, 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 blah. He said, I'm battling with demons, demonic, blah, blah. He's like, so he goes on and on. Was, I didn't even tell him we were going to be up on the square Saturday. Lo and behold, Peter's up there with the microphone. I look over, and here comes this homeless guy named Timothy. Timothy comes wandering to the square. So I pointed to Peter and pointed to that guy. I just kind of stayed back. I didn't want him, this guy, to know I was part of that. He didn't know. So he's there for about an hour listening. Peter got to chat with him. We prayed over him. I ended up asking him, I said, you want to come to church Sunday morning? Down that little Bladensburg church. You know what I mean? I knew these people. It's just amazing because I couldn't send him to any church in Mount Vernon. I couldn't say, walk right down the road. They wouldn't have done squat for him. So I went in at 9 o'clock. He was there at the car lot walking around waiting on me. I text Pastor Matt, said, hey, I got a guy I'm bringing. And yes, he's homeless and he's got demonic problems. He's a mess. Pastor Matt texted me right back. He said, bring him on. I was like, now most pastors wouldn't say, bring that dude here. So he did. Right. We did with him after church. I told him, I said, don't have any flare-ups in it. Because, man, he starts talking about the demonic stuff. He goes crazy. I said, you just listen. Listen to the old hymns. Listen to the preached word. And then we'll discuss afterwards. I'll get you with Pastor Matt. So we did. Mm-hmm. We locked the door. Another guy came in with us. Matt called us both in, and we dealt with him. This guy come back. He's standing at my house out front here because I'm going to take him back to the bush. He's right 200 feet back behind my car lot, down the railroad tracks, camping right there. He's standing out in my parking lot talking about his three kids, a 4-year-old, 8-year-old, and 12-year-old. You know, things are a mess. His life's a wreck. And he said, I want to get my balls back. I want to pick up the sword. And he knows scripture. He says he's a Christian. You know what I mean? His life is a wreck. He just started bawling. He's standing out here in my parking lot, my house, crying. I said, buddy, we're going to work on you first. You can't be working on your kids and your ex-wife and all. We got to work on you. And I told him.
Jeff?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Churches are full of men who want to cry.
Yeah. He's just. Seven, huh? This guy's a wreck. So he's going to. I'm running in this morning for a couple hours just because I want to go check on him. So I'm going in, I'm going to walk down the tracks, walk into his little camp, see how he's doing this morning. But we got him a Bible, got him some food yesterday. And
I'd say he got his butt wet last night.
Oh, yeah.
Poor lad. Hey, God bless you, man. Rochelle.
Okay, thanks, Coach, for bringing that story in. That very next story in the Huffington Post, I dropped in the chat there, and it's how to a parent's guide to supporting their transgender youth. So
in other words, they were together, right?
These were from
castrating dogs, but they can castrate kids.
Yes. Is this sick or what? They obviously know there are repercussions, even to animals, when you start cutting things off. This was just their testicles. With these young boys, they're cutting off everything. Okay. A confused young boy that's cut off everything. Yeah.
With millions and millions of white Anglo-Saxon Protestants not doing a daggone thing about it. With churches full of white Anglo-Saxon Protestants looking the other way, not doing anything about it, Michelle. That's where we are.
And you know what Alex Jones says was true. I mean, all of these chemicals that are in our foods are definitely, they're making all of us more docile. Okay. So it's doing it to the entire population, not just the men, but especially these young men, because it's getting in them. I used to give my son, he used to love this stuff. We called it Bear. It was a Pediasure for kids and he loved it. But you know what? I'm sure the main ingredient was it? Soy. But I didn't know this. I didn't know this 20 something years ago. They were poisoning my kids. Moms are out to do the best thing for their children. And when you tell them this is good for their kids and then they give it to them and then you find out, oh, this is changing their hormones.
So real quickly, go to Genesis if you can, Johnny. I don't know where it is exactly. Thank you, Rochelle. I will put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Where is that? Enmity. Put enmity in there, maybe, Johnny. I should have that. I should be able to pop it right open. No, enmity. I think
it's going to be in Genesis 3.
Yeah, Genesis 3, enmity. and we don't get it. See, we don't get it. But the fruit of the tree and the service, you shall not surely die. Scroll on down, John. We run out of time. Tree, now both of them open. Heard the voice of walking. And then said, woman, give it to me. And he said, I can't find them. Run out of time.
3:15.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Enmity. We're enemies of the devil. I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and they're going to bruise your head, and you're going to bruise your heel. We're supposed to be trampling the devil rather than running from him. Happy Memorial Day. See you tomorrow.